and Gauranga.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tadariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Iva Kevalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Welcome everybody. We're doing this auspicious Sankirtan Yajna here. And it is the auspicious day of Sri Ram Navami, the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. Let us begin because we're going to be hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. So please fold your hands and repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So Kamlesh Ji, our GBC here, has requested that we speak from the Uddhava Gita, which is from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a very large section of the 11th canto, the major portion. And this Uddhava Gita comes after the 10th canto, where we hear about Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Krishna's birth in activities is nicely explained by Shukadeva Goswami in 90 chapters of the 10th canto. And the 11th canto deals with the Maushala Leela, the winding up of Krishna's pastimes in the material world, dealing with how his family, the Yadu dynasty, was killed and demolished, and how finally Krishna returned home back to Godhead. But before that took place, the Uddhava Gita happened. Uddhava, because he's very intelligent, Uddhava was so intelligent that sometimes Krishna would ask Uddhava for advice. Of course, Krishna doesn't need anyone's advice. But to give service, he would sometimes ask for Uddhava's cogent advice, counsel. So Uddhava is very, very qualified. In the 10th canto, when the gopis first set eyes on Uddhava, they thought he was Krishna, because he had achieved that liberation. He had achieved the liberation that he looks almost like Krishna. And the gopis were thinking, ooh, who is the fortunate girl who has him as her husband? Because he reminds us of our Krishna in almost every detail. And it was Uddhava who was sent by Krishna with a confidential message to the gopis. And Uddhava spent 2 months instructing the gopis, acting as their shiksha guru, And he spent 2 months reminding the gopis how feelings of separation from Krishna is the highest spiritual ecstasy. And Uddhava, at the end of those 2 months, he also turned off his cell phone. After 2 months, Uddhava had a realization. His realization was that there is nobody more advanced in love of Krishna than these simple cowherd girls of Vrindavan, the gopis. Nobody. And Uddhava said, in my next birth, I would like to take birth as a creeper or tree or even a blade of grass right outside Vrindavan, so that when the gopis walk, I will get the dust of their feet on my head. So, Uddhava, by his sharp intelligence, could figure out that Krishna was about to end his pastimes. And Uddhava begged Krishna, please take me with you because I cannot bear to live without you. Krishna said, no, I have some service for you, but you have to stay for some time. So Uddhava approached Krishna, knowing that Krishna's departure was imminent. Uddhava questioned Krishna, just like Arjuna questioned Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Uddhava questioned Krishna. Therefore, this major portion of the 11th canto is known as Uddhava Gita. I think we should turn the lights on. What do you think? I think that would be good. So, there are many topics in the Uddhava Gita, and the one that Gamlesh selected tonight is chapter 28, Jnana Yoga. As soon as the word yoga is used, that means this particular process is a linking process with God. That is the meaning of yoga. Yoga is not simply some physical gymnastics. Yoga means a process by which you link with God. And there are many processes, one of which is Jnana Yoga. You link with God by means of intelligence and knowledge. And those of you who are familiar with Bhagavad Gita, you know what Krishna says. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. The wise person, jnanavan, the truly wise person, one who is possessing knowledge, jnanavan, just like the word bhagavan. Bhagavan means someone who possesses opulence. So jnanavan means one who possesses knowledge, real knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So Krishna says the real jnani is one who has concluded Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. That me, Vasudev, is everything. This is a very, very important transcendental lesson. To come to the point where one realizes that Krishna is everything. This was one of the things Uddhava related to the gopis from Krishna's message. Krishna was telling the gopis in his message that there is no separation. Krishna says, because I am all pervasive. That's why Krishna's name, Vasudeva. Everyone say. Vasudeva means that Krishna is all-pervading. At the same time, he's a singular person and he's fully conscious of his all-pervasiveness. That is the meaning of Vasudeva. Again, everyone say. Of course, another meaning of Vasudeva is he is the son of Vasudev. Okay? So, in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, when somebody knows that Krishna is everything, the symptom is prapadyante, they surrender. And here in Kamlesh's house, everybody knows the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja ang tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami masuch. We all know that when we come to this house, because I have given the name for Kamlesh Patel, Bhagavad Gita 1866. You still okay with that? Jai. So Uddhava, in relating the message from Krishna, said, Krishna said, there is no separation because I'm everything. Everything you see, everything you touch, whatever, anything, it's me or it's my energy. And therefore, for a devotee of Krishna, the pure devotee of Krishna, wherever the pure devotee casts glance, whatever the devotee does simply reminds that devotee of Krishna. There is no maya. Maya means forgetfulness of Krishna. That's maya. Simple. If you have forgotten Krishna, that's maya. My favorite story, I've told a million times. I'll tell it for a million and one. Prabhupada had a servant. The servant went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I'm very sorry. I made this mistake. I fell into maya. Prabhupada said, no, you're always in maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So we are supposed to come out of the darkness, get out of maya. And that's why Lord Chaitanya gives us the easy process. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. In this chapter of Jnana Yoga, there are three sections. As I prepared for this class a couple of weeks ago, I see this chapter in three divisions. The first one, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. This is dealt with in Vedanta philosophy. Appropriate that this would be discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is the author's own commentary on Vedanta Sutra. For instance, I've written some songs. So, because I wrote the songs, I know the actual purpose of why I wrote the song. You may or may not know. But since I wrote the song, I know what I was trying to say in the song. So similarly, the author of Vedanta Sutra is Krishna in his form as Srila Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva wrote his own commentary or purport. And that is known as Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is not unusual that this phrase, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, would appear in this Uddhava Gita. Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya has two meanings, the Mayavad explanation and the Vaishnava explanation. The Mayavad, or impersonal explanation, is that Brahman, the One, is truth. And this material world is false. But the Vaishnava, the devotee, doesn't like that. No. Yes, Brahman is true. The spirit is the real thing. But this material world is not false. It is temporary. Big difference. In the Bhagavatam, There are many descriptions, and you've heard me say, the material world is like a, what am I going to say? Dream. That's right, that you should sit at the head of the class. Very good. It's a dream. Yes, it's an illusion. It's a dream, but it's not false. False means something never really ever existed. What is false? Narantara Das is a woman. No. I am definitely a male. All right? What would be false? Oh, I saw a rabbit with horns. No. Rabbits don't have horns. Oh, the horse laid an egg. Huh? The horse can't lay an egg. Oh, where did you get those flowers? Oh, I got it from the sky. That's false. No. Though this material world is not false. It is temporary. It's illusory. And the spiritual energy, that is the real thing. So, those of you who get emails from me, I have recoined this phrase. Instead of Brahma Satya Jagad Mitya, I say Krishna Satyam. Because I don't want anyone to misunderstand. The source of Brahman is Krishna. Nimai Charan, where would I go in Bhagavad Gita to substantiate that Krishna is the source of Brahman? Do you know that verse in Bhagavad? Does anyone? Where is Rama? She would know. Rama? That is correct. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Whenever I want to know a Bhagavad Gita verse, I ask Rama. She is a Bhagavad Gita scholar. Very good, Rama. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. And you've heard me say billions of times, don't be spiritually dyslexic. If I'm spiritually dyslexic, I say, oh, Brahman is the source of Krishna. Don't be dyslexic. Brahman comes from Krishna, not vice versa. If somebody thinks that Krishna comes from Brahman, that's as ludicrous as saying the sunshine creates the sun. If anyone said that in your high school, what would they get from their teacher? The sun comes from the sunshine. What grade would they get, Arjuna? F, you bet you. Right. Or just like later when they light the diya, right? It's not that the heat and light produces the flame. The flame produces the heat and light. Big difference. Therefore, Krishna is the origin of Brahman and all the energies. That's why Krishna is the absolute truth. And that's why, again, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Everybody say? So that's Brahman Satyam Jagan Mithya. Meaning, everything in this material world has some temporary existence. Just like your nice, beautiful body that you put makeup on and comb and bathe. It's temporary. Right now you're young, right? You think life is wonderful. Just wait, one day you'll be like me. And you'll look in the mirror and go like this. Ah! How old are you now, Mr. Arjuna? 13. So I used to be 13. What happened? I used to have real teeth. I used to have good, strong health. 13, I was jumping and running and playing. But what happened? This material body is temporary and it's changing. It's not eternal. So everything in the material world has temporary existence. It comes into existence, It stays for a while. You get some byproducts. It dwindles. And then one day, even the Christian Bible says, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt remain. That's one of their mantras. That's one of them, I remember. Because they have one holy day, Ash Wednesday. And they put ash on your forehead. And that's what the priest says. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. But that dust, we learn from Bhagavad Gita, that's not really me. That dust is this body. Because according to the Bible, the first man was created from clay, from dust. I wonder if it was Gopi Chandan. Alright? That's how God made the first man, from the earth, from clay, from dust. So that's the meaning. But we learn from Bhagavad Gita, that's not you. You're not this body. You're the soul within the body, Brahman. That is truth. And this material existence is temporary. Therefore, part two of this chapter is all about how material life is a dream. One of my favorite topics in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. A few years ago, I went through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam and found every single verse which explains how material life is a dream. I've got a big file. Many, many references in 3rd canto, 4th canto, and in 11th canto, Krishna uses and explains that material life is a dream several times. Not just once. It's a recurring theme. That's why Krishna is telling Uddhava, you have to renounce this material world. You have to wake up from the dream of material existence. The dream of material existence, I'm American. I'm woman. I'm man. I'm Republican. I'm Democrat. On and on and on. These are all dreams. Temporary designations. So, that is why we have this song sung by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bhole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya, Pisachira Kole. Lord Chaitanya would go in Nadia and early in the morning, waking everybody up, Jeev Jago. But when he was saying Jeev Jago, two meanings. One was, hey, wake up, you've been sleeping. Alright, it's early morning. Morning is the best time for spiritual life. Those who want to prosecute spiritual life, they have to rise early in the morning. Just like, I'm sure those of you who do get up, you see people getting up, jogging, or going to the gym. They're doing that in the morning. So we are also doing our jogging. It's called japing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Spiritual life is best executed in the morning. It's easiest because the mode of goodness is flourishing in the morning hours. As the day proceeds, becomes influenced by the mode of passion, and now at this hour, it's starting to go into tamogun, the mode of darkness. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, not only are you asleep, but you are asleep to your spiritual identity. You're caught up in the dream of material existence as a businessman, a housewife, a student. This is also a dream. It's time to wake up to to your real identity, your reality. Your reality is Mamai Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Krishna points out our true identity in Bhagavad Gita. I was just listening on the way here. Arjuna asked me, what do I have on my iPod? Well, I have Prabhupada lectures. So on the way here, I was listening to Prabhupada speaking to some people in Mauritius. And Prabhupada was saying something that I've said a billion times. It was so nice to hear Prabhupada say that the first lesson of spiritual life, the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, you're not your body. You're not your mind. You are spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. And Prabhupada also said in this address to these people of Mauritius, all questions can be resolved by referring to Bhagavad Gita. I'm sure you like that, Kamlesh. Prabhupada directly said it. All questions can be answered simply by Bhagavad Gita. Who is reading Bhagavad Gita every day? Good for you, boys and girls. Everyone should be reading Bhagavad Gita every day, so that you become spiritually immune to Maya. If you just like, flu season comes, people get their shot. So if you're vaccinated, you don't get the disease. So you have to get vaccinated from Maya. Vaccinated from illusion. Vaccinated from the dream. How to do that? Chant Hare Krishna and read Bhagavad Gita every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the third section of this chapter is, let's see if I can find it here, because the dream section is very long. Oh yes, how to conquer yoga impediments. So in this chapter, there is lots to study. So, with time permitting, I can't read everything in the whole chapter, but I think I will pick. So I'll ask you, Kamlesh, of the three topics, Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mitya, life is but a dream, or yoga impediments, of those three, which one interests you the most? Life is a dream. That's why I like you. We're on the same page. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. I don't know if he ever married. I don't know. But I do know this. Meena, do we have a pujari for the evening? Okay, good. And we're going to do the offering at 7 o'clock? Okay. And tonight, we have a special kirtan leader. He's shy, and he's very, very meek and humble, but I have insisted. Tonight's kirtan leader, Hiran Patel. Let's give him a big hand. All right, so Kamlesh wants to hear Life is But a Dream. Are you ready to listen?
Sit properly.
Sri Uddhava said, my dear Lord, it is not possible for material existence to be the experience of either the soul, who is the seer, or the body, which is the seen object. On one hand, the spirit soul is endowed with perfect knowledge, and on the other hand, the material body is not conscious. To whom then does the experience of material existence pertain? This is a very good question by Uddhava. This 11th canto has very, very high concepts of Vedanta philosophy. The Supreme personality of Godhead said. So who is that? Who is speaking? Krishna. Everybody say. As long as the foolish spirit soul remains attracted to the material body, senses, and vital force, one's material existence continues to flourish. So the key there, you have to become disattracted to your material body. Actually, the living entity is transcendental to material existence. Same thing we learned in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita. But because of the mentality of lording it over material nature, material life does not cease. So that's another key. Lording it over the material world. That is the original sin. That's why we're here. We want to lord it over the material. And you see this. It happens in a family. It happens in a nation. Right? We see different countries and nations fighting each other. Why? We want to dominate and control somebody else. We see it. The wife is trying to dominate the husband. The husband is trying to dominate, and therefore, welcome to marriage. It's a contest. Who will win out? Who will exert their will? That's material existence. Lording it over. Just as in a dream, one is affected by all sorts of disadvantages. Although while dreaming, a person experiences many undesirable things, upon awakening, one is no longer confused by the dream experiences. You've all had that. I have that all the time. You're having a dream, whether it's good or bad, and while you're having the dream at night, it's very, very real, and it's intense, and then you wake, oh. Right? When it's a bad dream, it's, oh, thank, was only a dream. And if it was a good dream, ah, it was a, oh, ah. That's material existence. That's exactly what's going on. It's a dream. Lamentation, elation, fear, anger, greed, confusion, and hankering, as well as birth and death, are experiences of the false ego and not of the pure soul. I've sometimes said in funeral services that there is no such thing as death. That's also part of the dream. Birth, he said, Krishna just said, birth and death are experiences of the false ego. What is false ego? False ego means anything other than I'm Krishna's servant. Anything other than I'm Krishna's servant, that's false ego. It's not your real ego. It's not your real identity. This is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, confirmed by Lord Chaitanya, Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nityadas, eternally servant. Now some people don't like this next phrase, that yes, even in the kingdom of God, you're still a servant. What? Yes. Because we are eternally servant. Past, present, it's not going to change. It's not, just like several years ago, Barack Obama was just a senator. Before that, he was a community activist. Now he's El Presidente. All right, if he wins the election, yes, I want him to win. Or if he loses, whether it's 4 years or 4 years or next year, at some point, he's no longer President Barack Hussein Obama. And he will look back at this being president as just another dream. It's not permanent. It's not permanent. And when he was a senator, he was a servant. And surely he has learned as president, he's a servant. Everybody here is a servant. Doesn't matter if you're on the top of the food chain or at the bottom. Our constitutional position is that we're servant. And in the kingdom of God, you remain. It's not that you change and become God. No. You're in the spiritual world, in liberation. You're still going to be a servant. So, get used to it, because it ain't changing. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Sometimes people think, oh, I don't like this job. Let me get a better job. Okay, you're still going to have a boss. And there's still going to be people in that job that don't like you and you don't like. It's true. Same way with devotees in the temple. I've had that experience. You're in one temple. I don't like this temple. Let me go to another temple. All right, you go to another temple. Same thing's going to happen. There's going to be a temple commander. All right, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do... I was a fool. I was thinking, gee, I think I'll get married. Yeah. And when I get married, I will order my wife, make me samosa. And because she's my wife, she will, yes, Prabhu, and make me... But what did I thought, getting married, I would be the king. I would be guru. And my wife would simply execute every command. After 2 weeks, I realized, it's the other way around. I became, instead of boss, I became dos. So as a brahmachari, as a grihastha, doesn't change. We are eternally servants. So, the question is, who are you going to serve? Me, I have made the decision. I am going to serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Because I don't want to serve these fools and rascals in the material world. Let me serve the most beautiful, all-attractive, loving couple, Sri Sri Radha. Who wants to serve Radha and Krishna? Then say, Hari Bol. Who wants to stay here and serve some Kripana Durajana? Good. Very good. The living entity who falsely identifies with the body, senses, life, air, and mind, and who dwells within these coverings, assumes the form of his or her own material condition, qualities, and works. One is designated variously in relation to the total material energy, and thus under the strict control of supreme time, one is forced to run here and there within material existence. This is explained also by Lord Chaitanya. Brahmanda brahmate kono bhagyavan jeev. All we're doing in this material world is rotating. It's like a Ferris wheel. Sometimes you're at the bottom, sometimes you're at the top. You know, there's been a study, just like right now, what's the big news, right? The lottery is almost $1 billion, half a billion dollars. And people are going mad, so they're buying thousands and thousands of dollars of lottery tickets, thinking, oh yes, what fools and rascals. But did you know there's been a study? Because this lottery scam, and I call it a scam, this lottery scam has been going on for many years. The majority of people who have won the lottery eventually go broke. And there's a case of one person, you gotta love this. There is somebody who won the lottery twice and is still broke. I love it. Welcome to the material world, boys and girls. Yes. Unbelievable. That's why in Krishna consciousness, we give up gambling because it promotes cheating. promotes cheating, so we don't gamble. Let us continue. With the sword of transcendental knowledge, sharpened by worship of a bona fide spiritual master, a sober person can cut off false identification and live in this world free from all material attachment. So two things. You need transcendental knowledge. That's why Prabhupada wrote these books for you. And that's why I've been stressing, read Bhagavad Gita. It is for your benefit, for your knowledge. One thing Kamlesh has always promoted and reminded me is that it is very important to have transcendental knowledge. And I was listening earlier this week to a lecture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was making the same point, that you need to study these books just at least to protect yourself from falling into illusion. What to speak of, if you actually learn this knowledge, you can help others. But charity begins at home. So at least you should be studying Bhagavad Gita so that you can protect yourself from the attack of Maya. And I always like to say, Maya don't play nice. She don't play nice. She's coming to get you. Drag you. That's right. Very good. Excellent. So you have to be with the sword of transcendental knowledge. So we're all crouching tiger, hidden dragon. Ha! But with the sword of transcendental knowledge. This is how we protect. And what did it say? Worship of a bona fide spiritual master. That's why we worship Srila Prabhupada and those who are his true representatives. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Real spiritual knowledge is based on the discrimination of spirit from matter. That is explained in the first part of chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, same thing. And it is cultivated by scriptural evidence, austerity, direct perception, reception of the Puranas, historical narrations, and logical inference. So this process of waking up from the dream, you'll see when Krishna, or I should say Narayan, everybody say that name? When he was speaking to Lord Brahma, the original four verses of Bhagavatam, Narayan told Lord Brahma, you have to follow this process directly and indirectly. Directly, we've been speaking. You study, you worship, you pray, you chant, you do the nine positive aspects of bhakti. Shravana kirtana, smarana vandana, pada sevana, dasyare, pujana saki janatma nivedana. So those are the nine positive, proactive processes. But there's an indirect process. What is the indirect process? The indirect process is to refrain from those things which put you again in the clutches of illusion. That is why we make vows. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. These four things put you firmly in the grip of Maya. So you have to cut these things. When Narada Muni was preaching to the hunter, Mrigari, Narada told Mrigari, break your bow. Mrigari said, wait. If I break my bow, how am I going to eat? I'm a hunter. Narada said, no, no, no. I will take care of your food. First, break your bow. So breaking the bow means accepting these four regulative principles. Without these four regulative principles, no religious life. What to speak of? Spiritual life. You're not even religious. You're not even civilized. So these four regulative principles is so necessary, fundamental. That's breaking the bow. And as Murugari found out, because after some time, when Narada came to check on his disciple, Murugari, first cleaning the sand to make sure that there were no ants, because he didn't want to pay his obeisances and crush any ants. This is the hunter. The hunter who was half killing animals is now afraid to even step on an ant. So Narada said, so, are you eating? And Murugari said, Gurudev, you're sending too much food. See that? I joined this movement. I have never starved. You can see that. Krishna will take care of you. People sometimes used to ask, you're a vegetarian? How do you live? Oh, I live very, very nicely. Yes, Krishna will provide and take care if you surrender. And these four regulative principles is the beginning of surrender. Here in this section, Krishna repeats something that is mentioned more than once in Bhagavatam, which is part of the Chatushloki, that before there was a material creation, Krishna is existing. This is very important. There is a time when there is no material manifestation. When that is occurring, Krishna is already existing. And Krishna said, during the material manifestation, I'm existing. And afterwards, I alone exist. This is part of the Chatushloki, and it's repeated more than once. And it's repeated here in Uddhava Gita, that while everything is going on, while we're having material existence, while we're dreaming, Krishna is existing in His spiritual reality, waiting for us to wake up. There is a nice analogy Krishna gives. Is the little bell there on the tray, the little bell? No, no, no. Sorry, you're not wearing this. Are you wearing this on? Jai. Okay. There is a nice statement by Krishna which parallels exactly what is taught in the Upanishads. That there are two birds sitting on a tree. So now it's time for meditation. I want everybody to meditate now. So I want everyone to close your eyes. Meditate now. Do you see a tree? Do you see a tree? Now on the tree, two birds. One bird is sitting on a branch, quiet, not flying, just sitting on the branch. There's another bird flying from branch to branch, tasting the different fruits. You can wake up now from your meditation. So, the one bird that is sitting peacefully on the branch, that is Krishna as Super Soul. And the other bird flying from branch to branch, tasting the different fruits, that's you and me, the Jiva Soul. So what does this mean? It means, what are the two fruits? There's only two fruits in the material world. Happiness and distress. That's it. Two fruits. Not mangoes, no. I'm talking about the fruits in the terms of the Vedanta. The tree is the body. The body is a tree. And Krishna is situated in the body peacefully, undisturbed. And he's not chasing after the fruits of happiness and distress. The other bird, that's me and you. And we're going from branch to branch, from body to body, tasting the fruits of happiness and distress in 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies. And one time, one of the nicest things I ever heard from Prabhupada, when I first joined the temple, was sometime in 1973. Prabhupada gave a brilliant class, I can still remember. Prabhupada was explaining the same point, that the living entity enjoys sex life as a dog, and the living entity tastes sex life as a demigod. The taste is the same. And he gives the analogy. You drink milk out of an iron pot or a gold pot, it doesn't change the taste of the milk. The milk is the same. So we have experienced sex as an animal, as an aquatic, as a human being, and as a demigod. But that taste of sex life is the same in any species because it's material. So we are changing from one branch, from one body to another, simply to experience happiness and distress in different bodies. That's all we're doing in this dream of material existence. Just like another example. Right now you're wearing a certain clothes, and tomorrow you're going to wear a different set of clothes, but that doesn't mean you change. It's not that because you're wearing a fancy suit, oh, now all of a sudden you're different. No. Whether you're just wearing a gamsha or sweatpants, or whether you're decked out in nice kurta, you're still the same person. Same way, I'll give a better example. These crooks who go as banksters and politicians, they're dressed very nice, but they're still crooks. Are they not? They're very high-dressed crooks. And they speak very eloquently, but they're still crooks. They're still cheaters, rascals. So the externals doesn't change. So the real thing is to this example of the bird. The bird, the big bird, who's waiting patiently, is waiting for the little bird to turn to him for instruction. Because that is what Super Soul wants to do. Super Soul wants to instruct you and take you out of the dream and return you home back. I love that word. Back to Godhead. Prabhupada's magazine doesn't say to Godhead. It says back to Godhead. So that is the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement. To go back home, back to Godhead. Who wants to go back home, back to Godhead? Then chant the Hare Krishna mantra, everybody. In this Uddhava Gita, the material existence compared to a dream, Krishna also explains. Here's a nice, very nice analogy. Listen to this. What does it mean to the sun if the clouds come and go? The sky may display the various qualities of the air, fire, water, and earth that pass through it, as well as such qualities as heat and cold, which continually come and go with the seasons. Yet the sky is never entangled with any of these qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Absolute Truth is never entangled with the contaminations of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which cause the material transformations of the false ego. This example of the sky is also used by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that the self-realized soul, even though the self-realized soul is experiencing so many transformations and changes in the material world, the self-realized soul remains undisturbed. Now the question remains, how to achieve that position? This is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Because Arjuna asks the question in chapter 14, how do I transcend the modes of nature? Goodness, passion, and ignorance are coming like waves, one after the other. How can I rise above? How can I transcend? And Krishna gives the only answer. There is no alternative. The only answer for transcending the modes of nature is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means surrender to Krishna. They are synonymous terms. How do you surrender to Krishna? Bhakti yoga. Linking with God by means of loving devotional service. And that is how you surrender. That is how you transcend. But it has to be done continuously, day in, day out, year in, year out, life in, life out, life in, continuously, without any interruption. Therefore, Prabhupada has given me the name Nirantara Das, that I am to be the servant of this uninterrupted devotional service. Then I can transcend. You've all had the experience. You're flying in an airplane. And if the plane reaches a certain level, you can see the sun. And below, all the clouds. The sun is above the clouds. But on earth, from our perspective on earth, we say, oh, it's cloudy today. I can't see the sun. The sun has disappeared. No. The cloudy condition is a temporary condition because the sun is still there shining. Same way at night. A less intelligent person says, oh, the sun died because it's all black. It's dark. The sun has died. No, the sun has not died. The sun is simply out of your vision. So we are meant to be on that level of the sun, above the clouds of material existence. And how to do it? Krishna says in chapter 7, one of my favorite verses, Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam turantite. Krishna says, this material energy is insurmountable. It's impossible to overcome. But if you surrender to me, you can easily cross beyond it. So the question now is, do I want to remain in material existence, or do I want to become free? Do I want to transcend? If you want to become free, if you want to transcend, if you want to wake up from the dream of material existence, then devotional service, hearing and chanting, Let's all chant the Maha Mantra like you never chanted before. Now, because it is the appearance day of Lord Ram, I would like to say a few words in remembering Lord Sri Ram. So, one of my favorite pastimes of the Ram Leela, one that I always like to think about, is Jatayu. How Jatayu tried to render service to Lord Ram. Jatayu saw that Ravan had kidnapped Sita. So Jatayu said, "No, I will rescue Sita." But Ravan was too powerful. And Jatayu was lying on the ground, dying. But before he gave up his air of life, Lord Ram appeared. And I love the description, how Jatayu is in the arms of Ram. And even though Jatayu was not successful, even though Ravan defeated Jatayu and Jatayu could not rescue Sita, how did Jatayu give up the air of life? He was looking at the face of Ram and chanting, "Ram, Ram." Everybody, Ram. Can you feel that? That is the perfect way to leave the body, in the arms of the Lord, looking at the Lord. Haridas Thakur, same way.